B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
He'll be even better. You'll see the guy that Shaq and Chuck were talking about, which is the guy that's motivated, is one of the best players in the NBA. He's an MVP candidate. That's the type of guy that he is when he's motivated, when he's got a little chip on his shoulder. I think he's going to have that chip on his shoulder for quite some time because essentially two Hall of Famers, two Hall of Fame big men nonetheless, challenged him to be even better.
Okay. Thanks for that answer. Last but not least, I love you guys. Once again, enjoy listening to you. And I'll be a little oddball with the Phillies. Give me scale 1 to 10, the moves that you've liked they've made so far. And if you can, as I listen, give me a little brief resume on the guy they picked up from the Yankees, Didi.
Didi Gregorius? Yeah, sure. All right, man, thanks for the call, Scott. Good catching up with you as always. No, and I think it's without question. The best thing they've done is add Zach Wheeler. I mean, they need that arm in the rotation. That's not even a question.
Oh, yeah.
As far as Didi Gregorius goes, I'm not on the camp of Jamie Lynch. He's hitting more than 30 home runs in this ballpark.
I think right around 30. I think he's 30, 31.
I believe you told me he's going to hit 60 home runs here. And I'm like, you're an idiot. No, yeah, you think he's going to get a little over 30. I don't think he gets to that part just because, like, the optimist in me wants to go there, and the optimist in me has been very wrong.
Never underestimate, Mark, a man playing for a future contract.
I'm with you. I hear it. Who was it? Carlos Santana had a one-year deal here?
Yeah. No, I think he had a two-year deal.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because it was surprising they were able to get rid of him.
If he had a one-year, he would have overperformed.
Like he did when he went back to the
But Didi's a great defensive shortstop. Apparently, he's a phenomenal clubhouse guy. Uh-huh. He's going to bring stability, and I think in addition to Didi, either you're getting Kingery or Segura at second base. I still believe they're trying to trade Segura, but you're upgrading second base with the move of Didi as well. So I just think overall it's huge upgrade.
But you could be downgrading third base.
We'll see.
Scott Kingery. Yeah. I give him credit.
There's another Joel Sherman, Chris Bryant rumor out there today. I'm not going to lie. It moved.
It's been moving. And for me as well, I'll admit.
And he said three average prospects along with Segura. So average says to me not Boehm and not Howard.
So Moniak?
Moniak, maybe a Bryson Stott, and probably a pitcher or some sort.
Yeah.
And you'd have to inherit Jason Hayward's awful contract, which is fine for me because I don't care about John Middleton's money.
Not even a little
bit. So, yeah. We'll see what happens. I still think something big is up the sleeve there.
I'll tell you, to my core, this hurts me to say that I agree with Jamie. That
Gregorius, it feels good, Bob.
Yeah, that I think Gregorius is going to hit like 30 home runs. I'm there with you, Jamie.
He was also a top 10 free agent. So him and Wheeler, they've gotten two of the top 10 free agents.
Yes.
How much more can you ask for?
And Wheeler's price has gotten better and better and better other signings
He's
go on.
Basically
He's
free.
A bargain.
Yeah, he was free.
They got him in clearance, basically, compared to what everybody else is doing. Or they got him on an Amazon sale. I don't know. I heard that's a thing. You are listening to Dice. What's that?
Is it?
I've heard.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
They do deal of the day and stuff.
They do a deal of the day?
That's okay.
It's a great website, Mark. You should check it out.
Is that like Kmart Blue Light Special?
Is that what that is? They even have this thing called an app.
What the hell are you talking about?
You can just swipe one click buy.
You can get food from there, too?
Yeah, I get all the groceries delivered from there. It's phenomenal. Yeah.
You're Generation Wise, let me tell you.
Okay, Boomer.
I don't know. Generation Wise?
You sound like a boomer.
X? Generation X?
I did get Okay Boomer a bunch of times on your tweet yesterday, you jerk. You listen to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, 9 o'clock hour, brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to TheBagster.com. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, as promised, highlights from the 76ers game last night when they took care of business against those Celtics. After this, we'll let you hear how that Joel Embiid handled the criticism from Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley. But first, ladies and gentlemen, let's ship up to Boston.
Out to Embiid, three ball straight away. Got it. Six threes for the Sixers. Simmons got a double team, and Joel was left wide open. Embiid gets it, fakes, turns, and hammers it in. Joel Embiid with six of the last nine. There, Richardson backs up and shoots a three, and it's in. Josh Richardson with the clock dwindling. Out to Scott, three ball up. Got it. Mike Scott rattles it in, and the Sixers lead by two. Blocked by Simmons. Ben Simmons turns Tatum away. Tobias to Joe, and a slam. And Embiid down low with a two-hand jam. What a play at both ends of the floor. He shoots a three. It's in the air. It's gone. And Embiid knocked out a three. And oh, yeah. He waves his fist. He's having fun in Boston. It's a four-point game in a tight. He's blocked by Embiid. And the Sixers have the ball. Oh, man. Embiid with a block on Tice. And the Sixers are going to beat Boston.
Walker for three.
Blocked by Matisse. It's turned away. And the Sixers get the ball. Tobias Harris dribbles it down the court. Matisse Thybul blocking Kemba Walker. And the Sixers win 115-109. Handing the Boston Celtics their first loss of the year here in Boston.
Before the game, the media caught up with Joel Embiid and they asked him about Shaq and Chuck's comments about their critiques. And he said, they're right. But he also said, I can't go out and choose when I want to dominate. Yet last night, and I know he wasn't playing against like Joker or Marc Gasol or, you know, Serge Ibaka coming off the bench, whatever it might have been. He wasn't playing against top tier talent down there, but he certainly looked like a guy who was choosing to dominate last night. 38 points he was able to notch, 13 rebounds, 6 assists, only 2 turnovers for a guy that's been plagued with turnovers. And Bob, as you pointed out, a plus 21 as well. That was a dominant performance last night from a guy who chose to dominate.
I think he would have had the same performance whoever you put out there in front of him last night. The way he played.
All right.
I think, you know what I'm saying? He could have,
yeah,
you know.
That's a good point.
I think, I don't care who you put out there in front of him. Last night, it seemed like he would play with a little bit of, he had some fire about him in that game.
We got to mark this date. We do. We have to mark last night for what Shaq and Barkley said the night before, for the way they talked to him after the game, for the way Embiid just absorbed it all. To me, it's remarkable the maturity that he showed. You watch that clip of him listening to them last night, and he's like a student listening to his favorite teacher. I just want to learn more. I want to learn more. Thanking them up and down. I'm telling you, mark last night. Let's see what kind of a stretch he goes on here.
12-12. Sinatra's birthday. Easy to remember.
Yes, it is.
That's how we do things here, Big Fro.
Can I play devil's advocate on that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, go back to when they lost that series to Toronto when Kawhi hit that shot.
Right.
Now, you saw Embiid's face.
Yeah, crying.
And they made a meme about it, and everybody's laughing about it, and it's a big joke. To me, why does he need motivation now?
It's one of the things that drives us nuts. Why can't he just go out there every night? Trey, you know, we talked to Trey about it. You played 16 games. You went out there every game for 180-some games as an Eagle, ready to go. This kid doesn't have that. It's an immaturity thing, I think.
Because he's the best big man in the game when he puts his mind to it. Like Trey said, against anybody last night, he could do that.
Yeah.
Every night. But what does he need to motivate him to do that? Because they can come out the East. They can vary. Because if he plays like he played last night, Milwaukee can't do anything with him.
No.
Boston can't do anything with
him. There's not many teams that can.
Exactly. So
yeah.
What needs to happen to motivate him to do
the million-dollar question.
That's Big
Foe. It really is.
Big Foe in studio with Forrest Connolly, Trey's college teammate at Florida State. Great having you in studio with us. And we all agree with you. And like Bob said, that is what makes us bang our heads against the wall. It's like if you have a kid and the kid comes home with a C on a test, you know they should have gotten an A on. You don't go, hey, great C, way to just barely get things yeah. done. You go, why did you only do this? Why not more? When you see the potential there, you want to see them rise to that occasion. You want to see them rise to how good their potential can really say they are. That's what I want to see from Joel Embiid. Now, here's the interesting thing. What happened after this game, I've never seen before in sports. I've never seen this before. I've seen guys, you know, eat crow a little bit. I remember Jeremy Roenick at the All-Star game a couple of years ago eating crow, whatever, with the player that he was talking to. But it wasn't a mentorship type of thing. What Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal did last night after this game on TNT was nothing short of amazing. It wasn't a post-game interview. It was that setting, but there was no interview. I don't believe a single question got asked here. But listen to Joel Embiid sitting courtside with the headphones on. There's the double box there with the interviewer on the left and the subject on the right. You'll hear Chuck first. Then you'll hear Joel Embiid. Then you'll hear Shaq talk to JoJo as well. And JoJo just sat there and listened to this from two Hall of Famers. Take a listen.
Listen, we don't expect you to get 38 points every night, but we need you to be aggressive. Because when you're a great player, and you are a great player, you have to set the tone for your team every single night. And we're not going to let Ben off the hook either. Ben's got to be more aggressive, especially when you go out the game. But I picked you guys to get to the finals, and I just need you to lead this team every single night. And I'm going to stay on you. I know you get mad at me sometimes, but I'm going to stay on you. because you got a chance of being the best player in the world. We don't say that about a couple of players. And you were terrific tonight. And just, hey, keep it going, man. Keep it going.
I appreciate you. I've really listened to what you said and Shaq, and you know, I'm gonna keep walking, and you know, I'm definitely gonna use that and try to get better every single night and bring it every single night. Thank you.
Joe, this is me, Shaq. Forget being a basketball player that's played, whatever. As a fan, that was fun to watch. As a big man fan, that's fun to watch. You dominated the game, you shot high percentages, you played well, you had fun. You played hard, your teammates followed you, and this is how you're supposed to play every night. I know Charles just said he doesn't expect you to get 38 every night. I do. I've seen it before.
I got you.
You can do it. You have it in you. And, you know, you have to get to the point in your career where you look at people and be like, oh, tomorrow we play Minnesota, I'm getting 40, and challenge yourself to that. You could do this, what you did tonight, do it every night. I'm proud of you, and I thank you for listening. A lot of people call their mamas, trying to get people fired, do all that stuff. But you listen. We appreciate you, brother.
Yes, I appreciate you, everything you said. Thank you.
There wasn't one question. There was just attaboys. And I that's one of the greatest things I've ever heard in sports. That's one of the greatest things I've ever heard in sports for two reasons. One, the old school guys telling the young buck how to do it, and the young buck listening. And not just listening to what they said, even before this interview, before the game, he listened during the game, where he was able to impose his will throughout. That shows I don't even want to call it a changing of the guard, because there's a generation between them, but that's one of the greatest things I've ever heard, is those two guys offering their mentorship, their critique, their constructive criticism, not coming down on him, but telling him how great he can really be. Trey, you've talked about this with the conversation you had with Bruce Smith. Mm-hmm. Like, this is an incredible thing, and to hear that, like, that's not a conversation we're supposed to hear. That's a conversation that's supposed to be said in a tunnel, a locker room, a practice. That's two-on-one, whatever it might be, off to the side. That's not a broadcast conversation usually. But we just got a great insight there. We got taken. The curtain got peeled back is what I'm saying. That was incredible.
Yeah, it was good. And, you know, you could just see how Embiid is absorbing it, because he knows that, I mean, he knows what he can be. And I think that hearing that, getting ready for the game, it was just extra motivation for him to go out there and play some inspired ball. I mean, now let it lit a fire in him. Even when you saw him going up and down the court sometimes, you saw a little burst every now and then. And I know you're going to get tired, you know, because, I mean, it's constantly running. So you're going to get tired at times, but you just saw a little bit more of a spark in his game. And that's all that Charles and Shaq were trying to get out of him. Just like, look, man, they're just trying to poke him. Because you know how great he can be.
It was a parent talk to a child saying, I'm not mad at you. I'm disappointed, and here's why.
Right.
And them laying out, because if you do this, you will be better. The question that I had coming out of it, and after we just played it again, how do non-Sixers fans take this around the league? And I'm being serious.
They're pissed. All right,
yeah, and not because we're joking, oh, it's lighting a fire under his ass.
Right.
But kind of, if I'm, like, looking at another player, a player that, you know, your opposition, and I got Shaq and Charles, like, come on, big guy, here's what you got to do to get better. I'm like, yeah,
if you're cancer
last
night. That's not
your job.
If you're cancer on Boston, you're going, Shaq, what the hell, man? Yeah. I had to deal with that all night.
Or, like, you know, I'm the Milwaukee coach on an off night watching the game, like, what the hell are you guys doing? Why are you taking a special interest in this guy?
They're calling their moms and trying to get them fired.
Right.
That's what Shaq's... Yeah. I think that's absolutely true, but look, Cantor, he's not going to be Embiid. He's not going to be... I mean, that's why. Because Shaq and Chuck, they see themselves... They're Hall of Famers, right?
Yeah.
They see that in Joel Embiid. They see that that's the potential for him. And that's why, you know, people hear it and they think, even before anything got said by those two Hall of Famers, when it was just us talking about it, right? People were like, ah, you know, the guy puts up 26 points, pulls down 21 rebounds, and you guys are ripping him. Well, it's not about just the numbers there. It's about what you can do over the course of a season and what you can do over a playoff run. Because we're not just rooting on an all-star. If I tell you, hey, you're going to draft a guy, he's going to be an all-star, you're happy about it. But if I tell you he's got by far the potential to be an MVP, and you don't see him reach that, then you go, oh, what the hell? Yeah. Like, I don't want to, like, it sounds weird. I don't want to settle for an all-star when I know I got an MVP. Yeah. I don't want to settle for that B-plus grade when I know there was an A-plus there for the taking.
And you as a player do not want one word labeled to you during your career and after your career, and that's potential.
Mm.
You know, there was a guy, Darryl Dawkins, who played here who was like a man-child. Yeah. But when he came out, I don't know, you guys probably weren't, but when he came out of high school and the Sixers got him, it was like, whoa, you didn't see guys like that in the NBA. He was thick, he could shoot jump shots, he was athletic, he was strong, but he never reached that potential that people had on him. Much lower than Joel Embiid, but that's what you have to get nervous about with Joel Embiid. Are we putting that Hall of Fame potential on him, and there's a chance he might never reach it?
Well, in my house, he was Chocolate Thunder.
Yes.
Dr. Duncanstein.
He spoke at a couple of camps when I was a little kid, and nothing funny. I think Jimmy Lynam ran one of the camps, and he had Daryl come in. And to see Jimmy Lynam go at Daryl Dawkins, I mean, the greatest basketball lesson you'll ever
learn. Was he the Deion Sanders before Deion Sanders when it came to multiple nicknames?
He was there. Yeah.
I think you set the bar.
Yeah, and the Chocolate Thunder, he had a long list of what he was, and he was a personality, man. Like, he walked into a gym for a, you know, like I said, I'm at a camp, and he walked in and it was like, oh my God, I mean, a man child.
One of the coolest experiences I've had is with my father-in-law. We an usher I knew sat us courtside, and my father-in-law loves photography. He did it when he was in Vietnam. He just loves photography. Darryl Dawkins walked in, and I didn't know Darren. I don't know him from playing. I know him as, you know, what he became afterwards, right? And just a lovable figure, like a World Be Free type that was just always at the games and just a cool guy to see. My father-in-law freaks out. Like, you would have thought Michael Jordan was walking into the room, that type of thing. Like, I had a different appreciation for it when you see people. Like, Bernie Parent, for instance, is a guy that had his, you know, amazing career well before I was even a thought, you know? But, I know Bernie Parent. I know what he brought to this city. I know both sides of it. With a guy like Dr. Duncanstein, for instance, it's a different thing. I just knew him as the guy at the Sixers game, just making everybody happy.
Yeah.
A very interesting thing. Oh, Philip in Indiana's. Oh, in Indiana, you got something on Joel Embiid. What's up, Philip?
Yeah, how you doing? It's Duncan Stein, by the way.
I was going to say that, but I'm never sure. Okay.
Yes, it's Duncan Stein. real quick, before the point is, Bob, you mentioned how, the other players will get mad at what they're doing. Like, first, these guys are ambassadors to the league first. You know, I know they're doing commentary, but they're always ambassadors to the league, and particularly the great players, because they're not going to be telling this to Sam Ballinger back in the day. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be telling this to people who they think can also be in the hall like them. Because, like, it always amazed me how people got upset at Magic Johnson tweets, how he always liked everything. It's because he's being an ambassador first. He don't want to bash people, this, that, or whatever. But my point is today is if you look back, Joel Embiid always wanted this from day one. He wanted this, but he wanted it from in-house. He wanted it from the people who was responsible to give him this advice. Joel Embiid always wanted to be great. He always wanted to be responsible. That's why he took to this advice so much, because he always wanted this leadership, this responsibility. And I think, in my opinion, of course, I don't know. Others, insiders may have more insight on this than I do. I don't think that he thought that he was getting this enough from his head coach. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's one of the reasons why he gravitated to Jimmy Butler so much, because that's what he was getting, that what he needed from Jimmy Butler a little bit. And when he getting that from Charles, and being a Charles playing for the Sixers and everything like that, and getting that from Shaq, being a Shaq was a big man in the league, he really embraced it, because he kind of, when Kenny started talking, he kind of rolled his eye a little bit, I seen. But I think he always...
Wait, who rolled his eye? What, when Kenny started talking?
Yeah, when Kenny started talking, he got a little grin on his face, like, all right, man.
Oh, Embiid did?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't see when Kenny started talking, but...
It was real slight, but he had a little Cheshire grin on his face, like, all right, man.
All right, Philip, thanks for the call, man. Real quick on the Sixers, does Embiid sit tonight against the Pelicans?
Bob asked me this earlier.
Home game. I mean, you're asking me at a home game. I'm saying no. I'm not sitting my guy at a home
game.
Not at
home. Played 36 last night.
I wouldn't be surprised.
You go against Jahlil Okafor, the starting center for the New Orleans Pelicans tonight.
Who gave up veganism.
Who? Oh, is he getting fat again?
No, he just gave it up. He said, said his iron was too low.
Oh, is that right?
Why would he sit?
God bless that kid.
Why would he sit?
Why would he sit, though? You get paid to play 82 games.
I'm with you.
Talking about that.
I'm with you.
Why would he sit? He's healthy, finally. He sat the first part of his career.
Mm-hmm. Two years.
You owe it to the fans.
I agree with you.
Two and a half years, actually.
Management.
Imagine being a parent taking your kids to a game tonight, and you get there, and you find out Joel Embiid is sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And you know Okafor wants to play well, because Embiid's one of the pieces that got him up out of here.
Right. Yeah.
So, you got to play.
I hope he does.
I don't think Horford goes tonight, so I think Embiid does play.
Okay. And then he'll get off on one of the road trips. Because Disney on Ice is coming to town.
Yes, it is. So they take it. Yeah,
it happens every year. Yeah. I'm not even kidding you. Like, the Wells Fargo Center in Southfield gets vacated.
Wow.
Yeah. I wasn't home for a lot of Christmases when I was covering the
team. Oh, my God. I never thought about that.
I know. Nobody thinks about me.
Forrest, did Trey tell you about his month-long vegan experience?
Absolutely not.
I was a vegan for about a month.
How did that go?
It was cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, I broke down and got me a Chipotle.
It was 2.5 weeks.
What are you talking about?
It was a full month.
Strong month. And then I went and did another week last week.
Did you?
Yeah, I did a full week. I didn't even say anything because I didn't want y'all messing with me.
So what did you eat? What did you eat when you were doing the veganism?
I was on beans and I had tofu. No. I had buffalo. I had cauliflower. I had some buffalo cauliflower.
Oh.
Delicious.
Vegan burgers he had?
Yeah, I was doing vegan burgers. An impossible burger.
That's what.
Yeah.
Have you had that? Is it any good?
Yeah. I went and got one from Burger King one time. It was delicious.
But you're eating meat now, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm back on the meat.
So have you had a Popeye's chicken sandwich?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what broke me down last week. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I was on my vegan kick for a week, and then my sister-in-law came through with a bag of Popeye's sandwiches, and then that was it. I was done.
You can't say no to that. Yeah.
Forrest Conley in studio with us. Big Foe, right?
Big Foe's
in studio with us. Hollis's college teammate. You're going to be doing Muhlenberg, was it?
Yes,
Muhlenberg game at Northern Illinois?
No, they're playing at Muhlenberg. They're playing North Central Illinois.
North Central Illinois. Yeah. 610-632-0975. You're sitting in. We want to pick your brain, too, when we talk about Carson Wentz coming up. Because there is one heck of a challenge in front of Carson Wentz on Sunday. And it really has got nothing to do with the Washington Redskins, folks. It's got to do with the guys on his squad with him. We'll talk about that in a second here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Don't forget about the Fanatic Deal of the Week. This week only. Get one peak day ticket to Blue Mountain Resort, valid weekdays, Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays during the 2019-2020 season for just $40. Blue Mountain is the home of PA's highest vertical, the most varied terrain, and some of the longest runs in PA. Check it out now at 975thefanatic.com. Hurry, this holiday deal is only available for purchase now through Sunday or while supplies last. A little bit later, we'll give you the Tool of the Week, presented by Hollis True Value and Garden Center. The Hollis days are here. Head to Hollis True Value and Garden Center in Lafayette Hill to find everything you need for your holidays, for your lights, your fresh-cut trees, unique gifts, firewood as well. You need it. Hollis has it. Don't forget about that. We also have our big sexy report coming up in a minute, brought to you by Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse. Always on top. This is a huge test. It's not a good... Look, as far as the defense goes to the Redskins, that is something that's going to catch your eye, right? Trey, you've outlined it for us. Sure, no Ryan Kerrigan. Matt Ioannidis certainly can get after the quarterback. A guy like Landon Collins certainly knows the Eagles' offense. Dunbar has, I believe, 3 picks on the season as well, so he can get after it. Josh Norman's been having his struggles this year, but still you never know what he's capable of as a veteran corner. But the biggest test for Carson Wentz is fulfilling a prophecy, if you will. When it comes to this team, when it comes to what he's able to do with the receivers that he's had all year, the biggest thing we have said is, does he have wide receivers that want to make the play? Because when we've watched Nelson Agholor, or at times Alshon Jeffrey, or even J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, you're lacking, you're wondering if they have that will, that want, that drive. They have struggled with that throughout the season. There's been balls thrown up to Nelson Agholor. He hasn't looked like he's given max effort to try to catch those footballs. Same thing with Alshon Jeffrey at times. Now those guys, most likely both of them, not here. Nelson Agholor, we'll see what happens on Sunday. But now you have guys that are trying to just make a career for themselves at the NFL level, like Greg Ward and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who after his catch against the Giants, albeit against the Giants, huge catch on third down, kept the drive going for the Eagles to tie the game. That's what you want to see from a wide receiver like that was drafted in the second round. The big test for Carson is, if he just has guys that get that will, that have that will, that drive, as we were saying earlier in the year, if he just has average receivers at best, can he show that he's an elite quarterback? I believe he can. Mm-hmm. I believe he can look like a top quarterback with even average receivers. As long as they have that drive and that will to make a play for him, I think he can have success with those guys. It's a matter of getting them on the same page. And that's what Carson was talking about yesterday at his press conference when he talked about these new weapons on his offense. Take a listen.
It keeps changing every week, you know, and it's part of the NFL and it's part of the injuries that happen. But, you know, I think the key is just keeping everyone confident on the same page. Talking ball with them, talking through things and getting as much reps and as much work as we can, but talking through it a lot and make sure everyone's dialed in on the same page has been key.
Keeping the communication up, and it sounds like to me from that with Carson, he's going around talking these guys up as well, Trey, in order to help them all get on the same page so they can make that play in the most crucial time. It sounds like Carson's doing a good job of making his rounds.
Absolutely. I mean, he's trying to make sure that he keeps them up and let them know that, hey, man, I trust you. Now just go out there and make a play. And he's going to try to make sure they're on the same page, and that's all you want. When you get in that huddle, you want to make sure that the eyes that are looking back at you want to be in that huddle and want to make a play for you.
This might be the ultimate time people talk about, look, if he's an elite quarterback, he makes other players around him better. Okay, this is like that time, because these guys want to play, and that their skill set isn't of what the starters are, supposedly, because otherwise they would have had more playing time. So now this is a part where, okay, maybe you do look at Carson and make these guys better players around him.
I hesitated from going there after the Giants game, just because it was the Giants secondary. Like, I didn't want to get all caught up in it, but at least in that game, Bobby did exactly what you said. He made the players around him better. And when you talk about the catch by J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, he made him look better, because he certainly went up and made his quarterback look better by making that catch. Now, Forrest Connolly, you were obviously teammates with Trey in college. From a national perspective, you do games for ESPN. From a national perspective, what do you make of Carson Wentz?
What's the identity of the Philadelphia Eagles? Square chin, tough man, old school football. Mm. When Carson Wentz got here, what was he? A square chin, old school football type of player. How did he get hurt? Making an old school square chin play, diving over the goal line, what you don't want to see quarterbacks do in the NFL. But that's who he is. He got hurt last year again. I don't know if he's fully healthy, but he has to go back to that. Why did you win the Super Bowl against the Patriots? Old school square chin football. You know, that's what Nick Foles gave you during the time he was in. So I think for Carson Wentz, he has the ability. I think he's still working to get comfortable and feel confident that he's fully healthy. But those guys have to help him out. You've got a lot of guys that are hurt that he was depending on. DeSean Jackson, out. Alshon Jeffrey, out. You know, the running back, Howard. Jordan Howard, out. You know, so these are mainstays. These are guys that they were depending on to have big seasons. So when you look at all those guys that are out, those, like Trey said, those other players in that huddle have to be able to look into his eyes and feel like he is there with them, and he's going to give them that square chin player that they drafted out of North Dakota State. That's what needs to happen. If he gives them that, it'll filter down to the other guys.
All right, Steve is a little confident about this. Let's jump up to Steve in the Poconos. Steve, what do you got on Carson, my friend?
Hey, guys. What's going on, fellas? Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, so one of the things that I think he's going to step his game up. I think he's going to play much better. And the reason why is I think he – and this is going to sound the way I say it, I might not be wording it right, but he's getting these new guys, and I think he's getting rid of Alshon and Agholor. And I think that it's almost like the new guys are, it's going to be like it's his team now. You know, maybe young people are going to listen to him more. I think he's going to be more of a leader. Something tells me, the feeling that I get was like, almost like, it was still like Nick Foles. Those are like Nick Foles guys, it kind of felt like. if I'm saying that right.
No, I know what you're trying to. I know what you mean. It's a strong way to put it, but it does seem like for whatever reason. Look, well, they won a Super Bowl with them, so you can just say it was that reason. But I guess those guys felt like they had more of a chance to get the ball because you would the MO was that Nick Foles would spread the ball around more.
Yeah, maybe, but I think that he's more comfortable with the younger guys because he can tell them whatever he wants to tell them, and they're going to do it. Like, they look up
to
him.
Yeah.
He feels like listen, this is like, you know, it's his team now. You know? I don't know. I don't know if I was saying that right.
No, I understand. No. I understand. He's got the seniority over these guys. It's not like Alshon Jeffrey has been in the league a couple years more than him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and then how would you feel if you knew that your best wide receiver wishes he had a different quarterback in there?
Yeah, that would suck. But I'll say this with Alshon Jeffrey. He had a couple of bad games, the three drop game against, I think it was the Patriots. That was one that sticks out. Or was it the Bears? Whatever game it was, you didn't have a lot of confidence in him making a play for you. But I think he at least wants to make that play. I don't know how he didn't stay in bounds on a couple of those throws down the sidelines, most notably the one against the Vikings, but he didn't stay in bounds. I have looked at him as a guy that just has underachieved this year before the injury with the Liz Frank injury. His yards per game, or excuse me, his yards per reception have
it's
been
under 10.
The lowest. It's 11 now,
but it's
still the lowest he's ever had in his career. I believe it was at 9 a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I saw a 9, yeah.
And also, he has never gone a season without a 50-yard catch. 50 or more yard catch. He's got 34 yards as the longest catch of the season. That's not the production. I'm sure as a wide receiver, he's looking at his quarterback like, I've been open down the field. Make the play. I'm here for you. I'm supposed to be the guy that's always open. And he hasn't gone to him and trust him in those situations.
No.
Even Carson, though, has said earlier this year, he's got to realize that Alshon's always open. It's a matter of whether or not he's going to make that throw. That's what it's looked like, Trey.
Yeah, well. That's gone now, so
it's not an option.
Yeah, it's not even an option now. So you just got to go with the guys that are in the huddle with you now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know, we've talked so much about it. Like, some things never seem to change with this Eagles team, especially offensively. First half against the Giants, it's like, oh my God, you're doing the same thing. Why do you think it's going to work? You know, it's been stale. It's been vanilla. Maybe this new blood that's being infused into this offense because of the injuries, maybe that is just what Carson Wentz needed. You know, maybe, you know, it does give him new life. Maybe it does put more of a leadership role on him as opposed to having a veteran like Alshon Jeffrey where maybe he's not the leader of the group, you know? So, good. You got to take a look at it. It's going to be something different. I hope this offense comes out doing different things on Sunday than what we saw in the first half against the Giants.
Coming up, right now, actually, I want to get into this because I don't have a single tool of the week. I got a whole bag of tools.
Really?
Yeah. Hollis True Value and Garden Center tools of the week to put them in that tool bag. As an NFL player, and some of these guys had made money in their careers, like Clinton Portis, for instance, made money in his career. To try to defraud the NFL into what amounted to hundreds of thousands of dollars, like even going into the millions.
I think it was, they said, $3.4 million in totality amongst the guys over the course of 13 months. Yeah. And normally I'm all for like a Robin Hood type situation where you steal from the rich, but they're almost like stealing from their own union.
Yeah,
and their
exactly.
own brotherhood,
exactly.
Which is where it becomes a problem.
So Clinton Portis, as well as at least 9 other NFL, former NFL players, $3.9 million, what they took from, I believe, the NFL's healthcare program for retired players. And this was all tallied up over purchasing different types of equipment, allegedly purchasing different types of equipment. Hyperbaric chambers was one of them for like 40 grand. It was like 40 grand here, 60 grand there, 30 grand here. And they're basically taking from that retired player's healthcare fund.
Mm-hmm. Gene Upshaw.
So not this most recent CBA from 2011, the one prior to that Gene Upshaw worked on. This is what the Players Association and the NFL agreed to. And then all of a sudden, you have these 10 guys, if not more, just taking money out of that, taking advantage of the system, so to speak.
But they had a Lamont Sanford. One of the guys was a Lamont Sanford. He ordered a device used on horses, an electromagnetic device used for ultrasound for horses.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you want to get caught.
You're asking me to get caught. Yeah.
Please catch me. Please arrest me.
Yeah.
Please put me in federal prison.
Then the other name that hits close to home here in Philadelphia is that supposedly Carole Buckholder is one of the names on the charge as well.
I loved Buck.
Yeah, I mean, I always felt bad for the guy because he had what?
He bounced back from like 16 different knee surgeries and was still explosive every time he was on the field.
Was it two? I believe it was back-to-back ACL tears.
Yeah, and I think he had one in college as well. He had a lot of knee problems, and he was awesome player.
Went out to Denver. You know, he was a good guy next to was Westbrook, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Westbrook and Staley, they were the three.
That's right. And he went out to Denver, had a good career for himself as well. It's wild. And then there's another one that they're also looking at, which is Joe Horn, formerly of the Saints. It's a wild thing. And I put all these guys in the toolbox, as a matter of fact, in the tool bag for the Hollis True Value and Garden Center. Tools of the week. Coming up in a little bit, we'll give you our big, sexy report. And, ladies and gentlemen, we will have our official predictions for Eagles-Redskins Sunday at 1 o'clock. Time of the Fanatic is 9:40.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, this story, Sam, you've probably seen this. The Big Sexy Report is the Justin Timberlake story.
Oh.
So, did you guys see what happened with Justin Timberlake? Have you heard about this?
Hands? Holding.
That can mean so many things.
What?
Justin Timberlake was photographed, I believe, by paparazzi while filming a new movie. He was on the balcony, I think it was, with his co-star. And he was holding her hand.
I'm sure a hideous young lady.
She's gorgeous.
I'm kidding.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
Angel face actress, I believe is the term. Actually, that just seems redundant to say that. But Alicia Wainwright, I believe is her name. And apparently they had a couple of drinks and they were out and the paparazzi caught him holding her hand.
Under the table though. So like her hand was on her leg and he was like reaching over grabbing her hand.
So
maybe she was stumbling.
She was sitting down, Trey.
Well, she was falling back. He was like, I was trying to grab you. Like, I'm just going to grab your thigh.
I'll save
right
you.
Here. Yeah, I'm trying to save you right now.
To call back something from earlier in the show, maybe she just had socks on.
Maybe.
And she fell down.
She fell down.
But when it came to this, he had to issue an apology.
Uh-oh.
When you're married to Jessica Biel, if you're cheating, you're an idiot.
Okay. All right. No matter how beautiful a woman is.
I know.
Right,
I know.
As they always say. Right?
I will kill you for Jessica Biel. And I'm not even her husband.
Like, your wife would kill you for Jessica Biel. But, so anyway, they got caught holding hands in public. So immediately everyone starts assuming the worst. And I get it. I would, too, if I saw, you know, toots out there, you know, holding some other guy's hand. I'd be, toots, what's going on here? And, like, that would upset you. So he has to issue an apology, and he does that. And the reason the story came back to light this week is because Jessica Biel was photographed out in public for the first time. Well, she actually posted something on public. She wasn't holding hands with anybody, nothing like that. But she just was all smiles. And apparently, she and Justin Timberlake were extremely embarrassed by the whole thing, and he just referred to it as a lapse in judgment.
Yeah, he was just trying to catch the girl from falling out of the chair, you know?
Or maybe he was singing Bye 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 to her and just holding her hand.
Just going senior.
Accidentally grabbed it when he was doing the...
Maybe her hands were cold.
Yeah.
Maybe her hands were cold.
Maybe it's just being a gentleman.
But you know what? Chivalry's dead. And as Dave Chappelle says, women killed it. That's the Big Sexy Report brought to you by Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse. Always on top. Let's get one more in here. Evan in North Carolina. What's up, Evan?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. What do you got on Embiid real quick?
So real quick, just wanted to say, I think Embiid needs to have a little bit more of a, and Carson Wentz the same, a little more fun, but a little more maturity.
Definitely.
I think that you saw that yesterday. He really seemed in tune, but you could tell at the end of the game he was really getting into it, and he seemed like he was having fun. And I can't wait to see what happens if he continues to play like that.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Thanks for the call. I think we all are on the same page now. And the fact that he even admitted that those guys were right, and Charles Barkley and Shaq, that let you know we're all on the same page. Ladies and gentlemen, my official prediction for this Sunday at 1 o'clock, the Eagles will beat the Redskins by a score of 20-17. It's going to be a close one. It's not going to be a bar burner. You're not going to feel comfortable, but they're going to win this game, and then it's on to Dallas. And I'm going to make this prediction right here. I'm going to say they throw one pass with Greg Ward.
Ah, you don't think they save that for Dallas, do you?
I feel like they're itching. I feel like they're itching right now to just get it done. I think they throw that pass with Greg Ward. But in all honesty, I think the stars of this game are going to be Miles Sanders, and I think the other star of this game is going to be Boston Scott. And your receiving core is going to look good, but not great. And Carson will ultimately make those guys look better than they even should. Trey, what do you see?
I see us going
17-10.
17-10? Yeah.
All right. Bobby?
Yeah, I think the Eagles will put up some points, maybe some late when it's decided. 23-13 Eagles.
Forrest Conley, can I ask you?
20-14. Washington will have a chance to score and win it, but the Eagles' defense will come up big.
Oh, defense started the show. Jamie Litch.
Bob kind of more or less stole my score there. I was going to go 24-13 Eagles, but I think the late touchdown kind of is like a... I think it's going to be close, and then Eagles kind of get one late to make it look bigger than it actually was.
Okay.
That's what she said.
You guys. Sam, what do you got?
My score is close to most of you guys. I have 20-13 Eagles.
And Sam, what was the final on our Twitter poll today?
Today we asked, will the Eagles win this Sunday? We had just under 2,500 votes. We got up to 80%. 80% say yes.
I think it was that's what she said.
Yeah.
Forrest, see, we have fun on this program. Sam Wilson, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is everybody be careful on this Friday the 13th. Freaks me out. And then also go Birds.
Oh, wow. I didn't even realize it was the 13th.
Yeah, right?
It's just Friday.
Now I'm going to be
now
terrified.
Now it's in your head and now, yeah.
I would say grow up, Sam, but we just had that's what she said. So forget. I can't.
We just say grow up.
Yeah, exactly. Jamie Litch.
Go Birds!
Bob Cody.
Trey, next time you're playing Daddy Grab Ass, don't wear your socks.
It's just my feet got a little. You know,
it's all that footwork, Trey. Yeah. All that footwork.
I was trying to lean into it. But,
Trey, what is your take?
Hey, go Birds!
What is your takeaway? Go Birds?
Yeah,
my takeaway of the day is that once, in a far off land called Hawaii, Trey once challenged Lawrence Taylor to a trench battle.
You can get these hands, Lawrence.
While holding a drink that had a little umbrella and a pineapple in it.
Pineapple slice, dude.
Move the furniture! Hut, hut, hut! Ladies and gentlemen, have a wonderful weekend. Stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano Show. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Time at the Fanatic is 9:54.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.